started having some conversations as touching leadership. We drew out a very clear conclusion using Matthew 28. Verses 18, where Jesus is saying that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Then he now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And we said that this instruction is given to us today. It is the believer's responsibility to go just as the Master has instructed us. And so, of course, anybody who gives themselves to training is going to become somebody that trains others also. And I started pointing us to something very key that we had to pay attention to. You know, in a sense that Jesus expects every one of us to have some form of responsibility. You can't just be in church for 5 years and there's no responsibility. I mean, that's quite dangerous. You can't be in church for a year and there's nothing that looks on you showing that you are responsible. And when I say responsible, I don't mean dressing and coming to church nicely and having your hair combed. No, that's quite an individual responsibility. We're talking about that responsibility that is consistent with what Jesus Christ says about the church. The responsibility that Jesus Christ has given us to preach and teach and make disciples. I also said that, taking off from where I left yesterday, that the fivefold ministry, you know, popularly called fivefold ministry, actually fourfold, you know, is one that seeks to train and equip. So eventually, if the work is done well, you will have everybody growing to become like the trainer. So if you have a pastor and teacher, he's going to raise more pastors and teachers. You have a prophet, he's going to be able to raise more prophets. You have an apostle, he's going to be raising more apostles. You have a prophet, an apostle, and a teacher, you'll find that he's able to raise other people who meddle in different offices in the same. And simply, it's the intent of God so that the people will be able to do the work of the ministry. So I drew our attention to the fact that everyone, according to Jesus' instruction, must have some form of responsibility. Some form of, what do you call it? Leadership secularly, because there is also leadership secularly. You know, the church doesn't have emphasis on secular leadership, even though it's looking like the secular people, you know, glean off their wisdom from Christ's wisdom. But then we're not talking about secular leadership. Like, yes, you know, when they fight, you have to also fight back. Yes, yes, we will not agree. We will not agree. Yes, yes, we are rising up for our rights. No, that's not the kind of leadership we're talking about. Right? See, God has raised me to raise, what do you call it? Engineers. No, that one is good. It's not bad. But it's not what Jesus Christ talks about. He's talking about his kind of leadership. You know, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. But then, you must also pay attention that there are other kingdoms. There are other kings. Right? There are other kings and other kingdoms who seek to have their rulership established on this earth. But the call of us as Christians is within the context of what he wants us to do. And discipleship making is what he wants us to do. So I said yesterday that we're going to look at five fingers of leadership, if I'll call it. Leadership is going to be seen in the following. And I told you that it's for everyone. It's for everyone. We said that the ability to inspire is the first trait. Everybody must have some form of, you know, ability. You can make people do things. You can make people say things. You can make people think about things in a certain way. Yes. And I said that it is on the inside of you already, people of God. It's on the inside of you already. You have that ability to inspire, to cause people to want to follow, to cause people to want to move in the direction that you are moving them. Cause people to want to move in a certain direction by your talking. By your influence, the love you exude. I see you becoming a leader that inspires. You draw the people by the things that you speak, the things that you say, the way that you live your life. You find out that the people are following. And I said, it's with you. It's with you. By the time I'm done, everybody should see themselves as a leader. See, as a leader, you have to begin to see yourself as a leader. When your disciples look at you, do you inspire them to pray? In the service, when we say, as we lift our hands, are your hands lifted? Because many times your hands lifted will inspire your disciples to lift up their hands too. When they see you lift up your hands. Yes, that's what happens. So God has made you a leader. Like the way the devil has also made others leaders. They can smoke tampe, and you look at the smoking and you want to smoke too. But that's not the kind of leader that God has made you. It's not making you to smoke tampe. The females, have you seen somebody that wore a certain kind of crop top? And you started looking for the crop top to wear to show your nipple. Who has had that experience? Like somebody just wore it and you just also wanted to wear some. Yeah. That's not the kind of leader God is calling you to. The spiritual sisters don't want to say they've seen crop tops, but they, if they had, they would wear some. They would say, hey, my disciples are watching, so let me not say I'm going to wear crop top. So that is some form of inspiration. Inspiration. Show your back and leave your stomach. Show your stomach and leave your chest. Different types of inspirations. Some of you, your negative inspirations. Oh, not you. Some of people are negative inspirations in your academics. Like you see them live a lazy, sleepy academic life, and there's an inspiration to just say, hey, what can come, can come. Have you had that friend before? The friend motivates you that, hey, we've done what Napoleon could not do. And you are motivated by that inspiration. We've done what Napoleon could not do. Let's close the books. Let's go and sleep. Tomorrow, any question that comes, we'll shade. Yes, what can come. And then they close the book. You see the other three, four people who close the book, they are all going to sleep. What can come. But you don't know that the person probably might have learned something. But you are also saying what can come. Me, I don't follow that word. What can come. You, what you learned, is it the same thing that I learned? You go out. You later. What can come. You see that? You sit and you think about it, say, you see that you are going, following the school. See, that's not the kind of leader you're supposed to become. Huh? No. There's a positive inspiration. He wants you to teach the word. He wants you to check up on the people. He wants you to love them. He wants you to draw them to the place of prayer, to the place of God's word, to church. He wants you to do this. That's why he gave you that form of influence. So everybody has a certain form of influence. So leadership is going to be seen first and foremost in that ability to inspire. Yes, it's seen in that ability to be able to inspire. Number two, we're looking at the last one today. Probably we'll extend it to tomorrow. The ability to teach. The ability to teach. The ability to teach. You should listen to the teachings, or and don't listen with the mind that you are just listening. You have to listen and listen carefully, because you know why somebody is going to ask you questions. Somebody's going to ask you questions. Somebody's going to ask you why. You're going to be asked one day. It's not too long from now. And you're also going to have to train other ability to teach. Somebody's going to say, why do you believe in Jesus? Or who? Can you explain? Why do you speak in tongues? Why do you say, thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity? Why don't you just say, thank Jesus in heaven? Thank Jesus in heaven. Why do you go out to preach? Why? What's the essence? What's so important about preaching? Why discipleship? Why do you pray for your pastor? Why do you shout in prayer? Why do you lift up hands? Why do you scream? Why do you run around in church, jump around, twirl around? Why? You must be able to teach, you see. So when you're not able to teach, there's going to be a problem with your leadership. Why must you have a pastor that you speak to frequently and you consult or you talk to, you seek counsel? Why can't you be your own person? Why? Why must you be in church on Sunday? It's useless to be in church on Sunday. Just sit in your room and watch TV. Why? Why do you keep long in church? They say, I mean, let's be serious. 4 hours, is it long? What is the world turning into? Before you realize, they'll say, now church should be 30 minutes. At least 30 minutes. Everything, you can serve God, worship God in 30 minutes. Why all these things? But you watch a movie comfortably for 4 hours and 8 hours. And you spend the whole entire period on your phone. Check your screen time. A day, 6 hours, 7 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours. But you don't come and say that 12 hours. Your screen time is not even up to 12. It's more than double times of 4 hours. Why is sex before marriage not right? Why? Sex before marriage, why? Why is it wrong? Why can't we enjoy ourselves? Why is even marriage important in the first place? Why do you sing in tongues? Would you be able to explain? So you see, when we are teaching, you have to listen attentively. Because you know why? You're not listening only for you as a good discipler. You're listening for yourself. And for several other people who are on their way and who are here in the realm of the spirit about to show up. We're expanding massively. And I just pray that, Lord, we put in the right structures. Yes, because if the people start trooping in and they come in, we'll need to have people to disciple them. What can you teach somebody? So, a second trait of leadership is your ability to teach. See, everything that I want you to do, I find a way to teach you. Even on prayer. You see me teaching you, letting you practice it, teaching you, letting you do it, teaching you, doing, do it like this. Don't do it. Don't go it like, if you do it, it won't work. If you do it like this, it will not happen. If you do it like this, we will not look for what, we will not get what we are looking for. So there must be an ability to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Why do I teach on loyalty and disloyalty? Because it can destroy the one that is disloyal. And we love you and we don't want you to be destroyed as well. Why all these things? Why do we take time to teach on all of these things? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, he says, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, giving to hospitality, apt to teach. Apt to teach. Apt to teach. Apt to teach. He must be able a bishop there is not, you know, many times when we say a bishop, you're saying, hey, but me, I'm not bishop. Oh no, it's not that. The word there actually is episcopos. It means it's just somebody who is a superintendent, an elder, a guardian, or a superintendent over Christian people. That's all. That's what a bishop is, just episcopus, superintendent, somebody who oversees. And let me see, tell you something. An overseer is not an overseer of, you have to get to 1,000 before you are now an overseer. Sometimes you are an overseer, you are overseeing a work of 6 people. Can I be heard, please?
Yes, please, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah. Sometimes you're an overseer of 25 people, an overseer of 50 people, an overseer of 1,000 people, as well as 10,000 people, an overseer. So that's who a bishop is. But isn't a bishop, one that oversees and looks over people, must be apt to teach. You must be able to teach. So you have to start listening to the teachings and taking it as though you're not just listening, you're listening so that when somebody asks you why, what does it mean? Or when you're supposed to teach your disciples, you'll be able to teach. You should be able to teach the sermons word for word. You stand there, you teach it the same way it's taught. In fact, Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he says, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be apt or able to teach others also. To teach others also. To teach others also. In verse 4, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach. The servant of God must be apt to teach. He must be able to teach. You must be able to gather your disciples and teach them 30 days within day one. What is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? You are teaching, you are explaining, you are quoting the scriptures, you are sharing with them, you are using the examples that have been used. You've had your pastor used, you use them, you teach, you explain. It is a trait of leadership. You must be able to teach. You must be able to teach. Stand there. Don't say, hey, sorry, I'm stammering. But you don't naturally stammer. Hey, but you see, give me 2 minutes. Let me drink water. No. Apt to teach. Able to teach. Apt to teach. You must be able to stand there and you teach. You explain. You open a scripture. You quote a scripture. You say, okay, pick your Bible. Let's go to this scripture. Have you seen it here? Uh-huh. Let's see another scripture. Okay, this is what the scriptures are saying. Do you understand? You say, oh, I really understand now. You must be apt to teach. It shows that you are a good leader. You keep scriptures in your head. Keep the word of God in your mind. You can quote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and connect them together. Just as it has been taught you. Apt to teach. Apt to teach. And of course, you're going to teach within the confines of what has been taught. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, able to teach, able to pass over information. Of course, in discipleship, we said it's through precepts and example. So, through formalized classroom-like teaching and also through example, your life becomes that example. So, while we teach on prayer, we now say, pray. This is how to pray. Pray, let's see. Or, let's go. I'm taking you to a place. I'm going to pray with you. That's teaching. It's by precepts. It's also by example. So you're going to be a good leader because you are able to teach. Don't say, oh, I don't know. I don't know what to say. No, you have to find something to say. Go and look for the answer and come back. Show them a lot of verses that your pastor has showed you concerning the subject matter. Huh? As for you don't know any scripture, you don't know any, you say, you want to make disciples. How are you going to make them? So a good leader will inspire and teach. Which of your disciples were giving up on life? And because of you, not because of pastor, because of you, and your inspiring words coupled with your teachings, they were able to come out of it. Your inspiring words with your teachings, they were able to come out of it. They liked a certain boy. With your inspiring words and with your teachings, they were able to say, no, I will not follow this boy again. I will not follow this boy again. They plan on giving up on life, but with your inspiring words and with the teachings or the teachings that you have received, how were you able to put them together and get the person moving again? The person says, I will not come to church again. With your inspiring words and with your teachings, you are able to get the person again flowing. I will not serve God again. With your inspiring words, with your teachings, you are able to flow. Somebody said, I don't see the need of Jesus Christ. With your inspiring words and with your teachings, the person comes to say, I believe in this Jesus you're talking about. Person is facing a crisis at home. They said that we are abandoning you. You can't come to church again. You either leave the church or you don't come home again. With your inspiring words, with your teachings. And of course, you're going to let pastor know. But with the time being, what can you say Huh? What do you have to say? Person has lost a loved one, mourning, crying, cannot eat. With your inspiring words, with your teachings, what are you going to tell the person? Lost something dear to the person with your inspiring words, with your teachings. Person is living a life of sin, you know, is cloaked up in some kind of sin with your inspiring words, with your teachings. A discipler is apt to teach. Go make disciples, teaching them all things. Somebody says, I'll never forgive this person again in my whole life. My whole life, I'll never. With your inspiring words, with your teachings. Or you just join the person and say, it's like that. Life is like that. It's like that. It's like that. Take it like that. It's okay. Take it like that. No, with your inspiring words, with your teachings. Oh. Don't think you are small children. Huh? If you were in the villages, you would have had 6 children by now, inspiring them and teaching them how to bath and how to. Six, I'm telling you. 6 by 22 years old, you are already having 6. And your breasts are sagging as a result of consistent feeding. So you are not a small person. You be them be saying that I'm very young. I'm in level 400. This. You are not young, my sister. Yes, I came to say it just as it is. It's your inspiring words, your teachings. You the guys, if you were in the village by now, you would have had more children. And maybe 2 wives. One is 18 and one is 24. Get up and go to the farm. You say we don't have inspiring words. I'm calling you daddy by now. Eja, me papa. That's how they would have been calling you by now. You would have been hot in the farm. So with your inspiring words, you are not young. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself that, I am just a young. You are not young. God doesn't see you as young, you see. He doesn't see you as young. That's why after some 16 or 17, you can give birth. He already puts in you that ability to procreate. Like, just do it. At that time, he says that you have sense enough to raise another 2-week-old child. 1-week-old child, 7-day-old child, 16 years, 17 years, 18 years. God thinks you are already grown to bring another family out of you. So you're going to inspire. Don't be just a child. Huh? No, don't. I want you to grow. Huh? This is grow. Should be to lead people. Don't say, I'm shy. I can't lead anybody. You would have led somebody by now. With your inspiring words. With your life as an inspiration. So I don't want you to be handling things as though you are children. It's like we are kids. Oh, is a kid something? No, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. You're not small children any longer. It shouldn't be so. No, we are kids. Oh, we are still young. We are still young. Oh, No, no, no. No. You give them something, they can't hold it. You give them a disciple, the disciple, they can't find it. They can't find the disciple. Ask them to follow up on someone. They don't even know when last they followed up on the person. No, we can do better. So you're going to see yourself as a leader. Whether you are in level 100, level 200, 300, 400, you are done with school, you are working, whatever it is. There must be something inspirational about you. And there must be a trait to teach. Yeah, a trait to teach. And how you know that everybody is a leader? I've shown you practical things of wisdom. Is that everybody can have a family and everybody has a family at a point in time. Everybody is going to lead somebody at a point in time. That's how you know that you are a leader. You are a natural leader. Yes. Everybody, unless you say, okay, maybe I'm not going to have a family. That's how you know that God is indirectly telling you. He places a certain form of responsibility on the inside of you. So don't say that. Don't lie to yourself. Oh, me, we are not leaders. You are a leader in a certain way. You are leading people, but you may not know it. So if you like to play around, you don't do things you are supposed to do, you don't handle things well, you are just careless, everything they give is missing. We can't find it. We don't know where it is. We are playing with it. Everything, the child, the leadership of a child, we are playing. We want toys. We want time to play. Oh, can you take us to the park? Oh, we want to sleep. Everything should be playful before you now take it seriously. There's going to be trouble. How many times did you see in Jesus' accounts that he was playing? Like you find him playing. Few times he saw kids and he just hugged them, laid his hands on them and blessed them. Aside that he's not playing, we don't see anywhere that he's playing again. Full of joy is not playing. I'm not talking about full of joy. Full of joy is of the spirit. I'm saying playing. You are playing with things that are important. You treat it as though it's not important. Ability to teach. Ability to teach. Somebody will call and say, hey, you people, you like resharing your pastor. If you were joining in on every meeting, you would know the explanation I gave to that particular instance. You would have known. But you wouldn't join, so you wouldn't know. And then the person would say, oh, it's some kind of idolatry. Say, it's really true. When I think about it critically, but you don't have an answer. That is why you fell in for that sort of thought. Oh, yes. Is it your status? Is your status missing? That's not the answer I gave, but it's just one of the questions. Don't you have pasta too? If that's not what I gave, so don't put me in trouble. That's not what I'm just saying. It's a passing statement. Will I call it ability to teach? Why do you spend long hours praying? What's the essence? We always see you going somewhere, say you're going for evangelism. Why? Today, do we still do evangelism? Evangelism, they trim, we say trim. Evangelism, they trim. It's now social media skits. Wait here, say Jehovah, phone no more. I'm not evangelism. It's evangelism, no. It's trim. I didn't say your mother is asking you, say, hey, ma, your pastor say, uncle. Oh, what a useless answer. That's why they'll be fighting you. You say, oh, pastor say, uncle. Oh, pastor say, then. Oh, pastor, oh, no, kwa. Oh, kwa evangelist. Debia, oh, kwa evangelist. Hey, you're putting me into trouble, you see. You didn't know how to answer. So you're putting me into trouble. Then they'll pick me a phone. Then they'll now call your pastor. Oh, you're putting me into trouble. Huh? You couldn't teach. You couldn't sit your mom down, show her the Bible, show her one scripture, show her one this, show her one this. So Jesus said we should go. I said, hey, and I would do Jesus Christ to pine. I mean, your pastor said, is that the answer? Huh? Your pastor said, is that the answer? Is that the answer? Oh, teacher. Teacher, 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 banza. Every teacher Banza is turning into a better teacher in Jesus' name. Every teacher Banza, is turning into a better teacher. Kofi Zalanga. I'm not saying something. So you have to pay attention to your teaching ministry. Oh, you have to pay attention to it. If not, you'll be going for evangelism, your discipleship is not growing. Going for follow up, your discipleship is not growing. There's something that is supposed to be added to that activity. It has to be added. It will make the people listen to you. Tomorrow I'm going to teach you something that will change your teaching ministry. Yes, I'm going to teach you something tomorrow. It's going to be very short, but it will change something about your teaching ministry. Yes. And I see people starting to follow you because they'll say, hey, she has a good answer to every one of my questions. That's why people are going to follow you to church and follow you to discipleship. And for, yeah, some of these petty things are reasons why. They hear from you and they see wisdom oozing out of you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Father, we thank you for everyone here. Thank you that we're becoming good teachers. Good teachers. Teachers of your word to the flock committed to our hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.